Ephesians 4, 1 to 16 is packed. And I think that actually is probably true of just about all of Paul's writing. They're packed full. But because it's summer and it's communion, I decided to only focus on one area. And you will be very grateful for that. So the area that I'd like to focus on is actually the issue of unity. And in thinking about this and in processing it, I actually spent much of the week reading two books completely and one book only partially. And I'm indebted to them because they are examples of a people struggling with this issue of unity in the midst of diversity. And I would recommend any of them. And the interesting thing about them is the first one, Alan Paton's Cry the Beloved Country, about South Africa, was first written in 1949. The second one, which I only picked a bit through, Exclusion and Embrace, a Theological Exploration of Identity, Otherness, and Reconciliation, is by Miroslav Voth and was written in 1965. And the last one was written last year, Letters to My Palestinian Neighbor. We live in a world where unity seems in such short supply, where compassion and tolerance and kindness seem rare. We live where we see and hear far too much of violence and death, even in our own country. We are confronted in the news with pictures that tear our hearts. All you have to do is think of the front page of the Time magazine, of the picture of the little girl crying as she was separated from her mother. This book that I bought last week, Letters to My Palestinian Neighbor by Yossi Klein Halevi, I bought because it seemed to capture this issue of what our world is like today. And listen to the introduction. I call you neighbor because I don't know your name or anything personal about you. Given our circumstances, neighbor may seem too casual to describe our relationship. We are intruders into each other's dreams, violators of each other's sense of home. We are living incarnations of each other's historical nightmares. Neighbors? So in such a time as this, what better thing to strain towards, to work towards, to long for, to pray for, than unity? Perhaps a way to end bullying, mocking, shunning, isolation, hatred, and all the things that seem to lead far too often to violence. Our passage calls for this unity. One body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And yet, it is important to remember the context that Paul was in as he wrote this letter. The young church trying to bring together both Jew and Gentile. And if you tried, you could not get two more different people groups who differed in virtually every way in their lives and their practice of their faith. And yet in that context, Paul calls for unity. I think it's very important that we understand that this call to unity is not a call to uniformity. Let me say that again. This call that Paul makes to unity is not a call to uniformity. And I suspect that many of us think life would be a whole lot simpler if we could just think the same way, say the same things. For heaven's sakes, if we could even just agree about what the Bible says occasionally, would not life be simpler? However, let me assure us that is never going to happen. Because I would like you now to take a second and just look around you. Look at the people sitting near you. Some that you know well and some that you don't. Do you notice that there actually are a fair bit of differences? Think of your own family and think of the differences in your family. I think of my family and I think, oh my goodness, I could spend a year telling you about the differences in my family, which has led to many complications, I might say. So if this passage is not calling for uniformity, what is it calling for? And I think it is a call to unity in the midst of our differences. And just for a moment, think of your own body. Our bodies are a marvel of thousands and thousands of different working pieces. Dan, you could stand up later and add to the list I'm about to make. We have bones and cells and DNA and brains and livers and intestines and hearts and kidneys and skin and toes and ears and eyes and mouths and tongues and arteries and veins, cartilage, joints, capsules and tendons, and much, much more. And of course, our bodies work best when all of those different parts work well together. And if you don't believe that, just ask somebody who has joint pain in their knee or their hip what happens when cartilage no longer cushions a joint properly. The body doesn't work nearly as well. And the body of Christ, the church, us, is no different. We work most effectively when all the uniquenesses and all the differences in people, our different backgrounds, different ethnicities, different genders, different ways of looking at things, the very variety of gifts that Christ has given to the church, when all of this works well together, it builds up and brings to maturity the body, the church. And the body needs all of us. And then one must ask, so how in heaven's name do we do this? And Paul gives us an answer. I don't happen to like the answer, but he gives us an answer. He says, lead this life with all humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit by the bond of peace. And in Paul's world, those characteristics, if read and named as being valuable, would have been objected to strenuously. And I think that they probably are in our world. They were looked upon as being only suitable for servants or slaves, that they produced a kind of person who was weak-kneed, limp-wristed, a weakling, servile, a loser. And I look at the list and I say, how in heck do I ever do that for longer than 5 seconds in a row? I have a good friend who's sick. And we are so different. I went to her first appointment at the cross and she won't let me go with her anymore, which is fine. That's her decision. I respect that. But I wanted to ask all the questions about what's down the road. And she could have cared less about anything that was down the road. She just wanted to know what was going on now. So she had a bone scan, and I asked her, did you ask what had happened to the existing lesions? Have they grown? Oh, no, I never even thought of that. And I think, no wonder she doesn't want me to come. She decided to host a barbecue for her 30-person choir and asked me to barbecue the meat. She's just thinking of one issue. And I said, I'd love to barbecue the meat. But then, of course, I realized that that meant getting her place ready for 30-plus people to come for a barbecue, which she hadn't thought of until 3 days before the barbecue. So for the next 3.5 days, I cleaned, I swept, I moved 30-plus chairs from many different places on the farm. And at the end of that 3.5 days, I was so tired that I said to her with great gentleness and patience and kindness, if you ever do this to me again, it will not be your cancer that kills you. It will be me. So there we are. How do we do this? It's hard, bearing with one another. And as you laughed, you realize for all of us, not just me, it is hard. But then I thought, where in the heck did we ever read in God's word that it was going to be easy? I wish I could find that passage. I haven't found it yet. If I do, I will be the first to let you know. It will not be easy. I think Eugene Peterson would use the title of his book and say to us today, this will be a long obedience in the same direction. This is not something that happens quickly. This is not even a 2 to 5 year vision plan. This is a lifelong journey for all of us. It's hard, hard work. Perhaps it will be the hardest thing that we will ever do as a church together. To have kindness for the other, compassion for each other, to give grace and forgiveness to each other, to not demand or expect agreement in all things. Not just smiling sweetly at each other, but underneath thinking, you are such an idiot. But acting on this in practical ways, real ways, helping, listening, giving, sharing. Weakness? This isn't weakness to do this. I actually believe that this is a terrible, costly strength because it means we have to let go of ourselves in some way. Not lose ourselves, but let go of some of ourselves. It is a strength. For we are in a world that values separating the different, separating the one who is not like us. And we use borders and barriers of all kinds. And when all else fails, we use violence to do that. And we as a body of believers are in this together. And Paul would say to us, it is only with a diversity and living together with all of us as a part of this that we can be the church as it was meant to be. Look at the early church. The day of Pentecost, the Spirit came not with one holy divine language that every single person in the audience understood. The Spirit spoke in every language, in every tribal language, in each person's heart language. We have a God who affirms diversity, who treasures diversity, and who gives diversity for the building up of the church of God. And Paul reminds us that it happens through love and kindness and compassion, that we can begin to learn to accept and work together with each other. It is in making every effort, sweating over this, getting oh so tired and wanting to quit, and yet trying again, failing and saying, I give up, I can't do this, and yet trying again. A church like this opens its doors to all, seeks out all kinds of people to be a part of it, and does not require them to become like us. We'll recognize that without those people, we cannot be God's people. A risk, yes, but one worth taking, because it is a risk that will change the church and will make the church what our oh-so-fearful world needs. And the very good news that I will end with is that we are never alone in trying to do this, that the God who has called us to this will equip us for this. The God who has called us to this will equip us for this. The Spirit has come to be beside us, to give us strength, to be with us as we try this. We are given grace when we fail. We are given love when we fail and when we try. Our very table today reminds us of all of that. A table of love and grace and help, and perhaps most of all, a welcome for all. Come, let us be the one body. Amen.